What a good time. What a good time. You know, we need to learn to celebrate more. Amen? Celebrate little things. Anything. You know, be a wedding crasher. You know, if you're having a really bad day, go find a wedding in town and crash the wedding. You know, and then go find a birthday party. If you're really bored and you're tired and you walk in a restaurant and there's a whole bunch of people over here ready to sing, stand up in the middle of there and say, happy birthday, and start to sing with the people singing. And that, you know, we just need to grab hold of moments to celebrate. The enemy is constantly trying to rob us. Oh, how does he do it? Through the little ache in the hip. Through the little ache in that in our heart where someone had hurt us or someone had said something. He's constantly trying to get us focused onto the problems and the weights of this world and the things that don't go so well, instead of looking a little higher and realizing, wait a minute, God, you said you'll turn everything around for good. For those that love you and called according to your purpose, you will turn it around for good. So even though it doesn't feel good right now, I trust good is going around the corner. Something's going to get better. It's going to get better. I shared with you, I think I shared this story, that up until 13, I never, ever tasted something off of barbecue. Because my mom and dad felt with four boys, as crazy as we were, we would blow ourselves up if we had a barbecue. So we never had one until I went to a friend's house, and I think it was hot dogs or something like that that I had. And I'm just like, man, that's amazing. Then it was in Bible college. You know, we had steak growing up. We had T-bone steak that was this thick because my parents, they would get a full cow, not a half a cow, not a quarter. They'd buy a full cow because of all of us guys. But my mom didn't understand a few things. So I grew up, what was normal was to have a burnt offering. How many know what a burnt offering is? Like, it's like wet leather. That's what it is when you're chewing on that steak. And I grew up with that. So when I would go into a restaurant, I would say, I'd take it well done. Because that's how I grew up. Until one day, I remember in Bible college, one of my friends, and then also, again, in Suluco, trying to get me out of this movement of my thinking, said, no. If I'm buying, you're not having a steak well done, because that's just wrong. And I said, okay, well, how am I supposed to? Well, you have to have it done right. I'm like, okay, well, whatever right is, you're paying, and I like that idea. So I said, okay. Well, all of a sudden, the steak comes out to me, and we're in a fancier restaurant. And they said, you know, would you like to cut in and make sure it's cooked right? Well, I'm like, I've never had it cooked this way, so I don't know. So I start to cut into it, and it's pink, and some blood is starting to come out. I swear, the thing mooed to me. You know, and he's like, no, it didn't moo. Just take a bite of it. Well, I tell you, when I took a bite of that steak, oh my goodness, heaven just opened up to me. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is better. This is better. There's something about now I could actually taste the meat. It had flavor to it. It was better. Can we say the word better? Better. Say it again. Better. Oh, God wants so much better for you and for me. How many of us want to have a better year this year? If we look on between, you know, now and last year this time, how many want to have a better year? How many want to have a better summer ahead? I've got a really big, good section right here that wanted a couple sporadics. I don't know about you, man. I'm putting up everything, man. I want a better year. Amen? I don't want the depression. I don't want all the weights and all the stuff that's going on. I want it better than what I had before. You'd be crazy not to want to have a better year. The tragic thing, though, is for so many people in our culture, they're pursuing what we call the good life. We want nice things, we want comfort, we want convenience, and we want fun. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as God has all your heart. Because if not, those things become gods in our life that we begin to chase after. And when we chase after them, we distance ourselves from God. And then we wonder why we're not feeling comfortable. We're not feeling at peace and at rest. Like, what's going on here? It's because something else has risen up that high place. God, does God have all your heart? So many people settle for the good life when God has something indescribably better for you. In fact, the key thought that I want to drive through as I'm just taking scriptures, and that wherever I'm finding scriptures that say the word better, I want to start to talk about them and draw them out. The key thought would be is we're going to have to let go of the good in order to grab the better. That's what I want to kind of grab a hold of. Because how many times we settle for good? But yet God has so much better. We settle for that good life. We measure up against all the people around us and I'm okay and I've got it together. And we forget the better life that God is calling us to. Not settling for good. Not striving just for the good life. When God has something indescribably better. Today we're starting a new series called Better. And I want to walk through different scriptures that I found that say better in it. Next week, we're going to talk from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, better is one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of toil, a chasing after the wind. Better is one handful. Unfortunately, we live in a world that drives us to two handfuls all the time, doesn't it? Rockefeller, the guy with millions of dollars and lots of money, was asked the question, how much more? How much more do you really need? Oh, just a little bit more. Just a little more. Just one more time at the slot. Someone sits there and all of a sudden life savings goes. They just keep spending and spending. They get caught into cycles. Two handfuls, and so many of us are overwhelmed, overworked, stressed, burned out, no intimacy with our spouse, no intimacy with our kids, no intimacy with God. We're going to learn that it's better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. That's what we're going to talk about next week. But this week, we want to start, if you want to turn to Psalms 84. Trust you have your Bibles with you, or if you have your trusty little phone, you can open it up to your Bible app. And we're going to look at Psalms 84. It's a familiar verse because we sing it as a song, and that for many years we used to sing this song. It comes from Psalms 84, but I'm going to want to start at verse 1 and 2 just to give you a little bit of context for this very powerful verse that I want us to memorize and make a part of our life. It starts out saying, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Oh, I love the language that the psalmist used. How lovely is your dwelling place, Psalms 84. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Well, if you're new to the Bible, and that when they say the Bible talks about the courts of the Lord, really what it's saying is their soul longs for the presence of God. It was a picture or a representation of the presence of God that we see. It says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So here's our memory verse. I'll read it, and then I want you to help say it with me together. It says, better is one day in your courts. Verse 10, better is one day in your courts. In other words, better is one day in your presence than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, which is kind of the lowest spot, like the toilet bowl cleaner, you know, kind of idea. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. All right, let's try and say it together. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. That was pretty good. Let's try one more time. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Oh, may Holy Spirit just help this verse come into our heart today. Better is one day with our God. Better is one day. Better is one day with God than any other kind of day anywhere else you could kind of think of, the most amazing place you would ever want to be at. One moment with God is more and better than that. The problem is so many people simply don't believe it. They don't believe. And sometimes they feel that the way and that what they hope for and they're longing for, they're not quite convinced it's true. That the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's word, I pray today, God is going to ignite back into our hearts and remind us once again that better is one moment with God. We won't run to someone else first. We'll run to him. We won't jump and say, oh, well, I got to fix this, and this is what I do, and this is what I do, and this is what I do, because this is what I did before. And it worked then, so it's going to work now. It's not true. Moses got himself in deer trouble over that, did he not? When all of a sudden he turned around and the same thing he did here, and that people cry out, and he jumps to say, well, I got to fix this, instead of going to God and saying, God, what do you want done? He does what he was familiar with and got himself in trouble. How many times do we get ourselves into a hot mess? Because we step into the same circumstance and we're like, oh, this feels the same. I'm going to just do what I did before. Oh, God is saying, you know what? No, wait on me. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Come to me and ask for wisdom. Come to me and rest and talk to me, and I will lead you. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in me, he says. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make the path straight. I don't know about you, but I love to blaze ahead. And sometimes I get myself out so far into deep water, the current's so strong that I'm having a hard time. Yet he says, my rock is solid. The waves can beat at you, but you're going to stand. Nothing's going to move you. If you remain in me as I remain in you, better is one day with him. Let me just tell you, as some might say, well, how and why is it better? Well, let me break it down, and we're going to jump a lot of scriptures here, so if you don't write them down, you can. Well, let me just tell you, it's better because God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 59:9. Simply, he knows a whole lot more than we do. He knows exactly what's needed at the right time, at the right place. God's ways are better than our ways. Scripture says his love is better than life. In Psalm 63:3. A day with God is better because with Christ you have forgiveness of your sins. 1 John 1:9. You see, your sins have been separated in God's eyes as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 103:12. He never holds them against you again. You should get a big amen on that one. A day with God is better because you have the security of knowing that you're the family of God. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. Oh, one day with him is better. A day with God is better because you have joy unspeakable. Your happiness is not based on happenings in the world, but you have a joy based on who God is. 1 Peter 1:8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with great inexpressible and full of glory. Or another version say, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, there is an exceeding joy that we will find only in the presence of God, because he is joy. He is self-control. He is patience and kindness and goodness. He is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we're trying to get, but if you have him inside of you, If you have him inside of you, he's weaved inside, and now he's created anew, and he is now the very fiber of you. No longer you shall live, but Christ who lives in you. He is peace. Oh, he is self-control. When you're having a hard time and you're facing something, a habit or sin, and the temptation is coming, all you have to do is rest in him. He is self-control. He's everything you need. You lack nothing in him. It's only when we forget about him that we get ourselves into deep water. It's only when we get off of the solid rock, we find ourselves into a tough place. A day with God is better because no matter what's going on in life, you can have a supernatural peace that goes beyond what a non-Christian has the ability to even understand. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remain in me as I remain in you, and you can ask anything. Well, listen. It only gets better. It only gets better. A day with God is better because we have a divine calling and a purpose on our life. Jeremiah 29:11-13. When you wake up in the morning, you know that your God knew you before you were even born. He knew you in your mother's womb. Psalms 139. All the days of your life were ordained and written into his book, even before one of them came into being. You have a unique calling. You have a unique calling that no one else has. You have a unique purpose. That's why sometimes in church we can rub just a little bit, because some of the purposes in one person's heart that God placed, they see something this way, and God has wired them to see it that way, as someone else sees it this way, and it's not right and wrong, it's learning how to come together. Because God says he dwells in unity. We all have different likes. We all have different dislikes. We all have things that we will chase after and we will give anything for. They are that important to us, and we all have things that we will say, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But some things that I say, whatever, it doesn't really matter to someone else. It's like, what are you talking about? That's the most important thing. And we need to learn that we're all a little unique, we're different, but as we learn to love each other and we learn to come together, the very presence of God will abide here. He will abide here. And I'm telling you now, there is nothing sweeter than the very presence of God having his freedom and liberty amongst a whole group of people that should have no reason to be together, because we all have different names, we have different last names, we have different likes and dislikes, some wear glasses, some don't, some have hair, some don't, some have long hair, short hair, colored hair, some have this, some have that, whatever, whatever, whatever. We have a million reasons to be apart, but when we decide that we are going to come together and we start linking, it attracts the very presence of God. See, his favorite house is not this building. His favorite house is you and me. And when we turn around and we start linking together and we start coming together, laying down, and that maybe it's pride, maybe it's hurt, maybe it's whatever, and we start to lay it down. Love covers a multitude of sin, and that we can forgive anything, he says, in the power of Jesus. And when we do that, he links us together. Better is one day in his courts, in his presence, than 1,000 elsewhere. I have his power. A day with God's power is better because you're a Christian. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You have access to the very throne room of God, Romans 8:11. A day with God is better because you have his provision. You have everything you need to do, everything that God wants you to do. You lack nothing in him. Scripture says that you have everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. If you want to get a little bit excited now, it's probably a good time for that, because it's indescribably better than anything I could try to help you understand. Is one day in his presence. It's better. It's better. It's better than one day with him than anywhere else. Now, what I'm not saying, and I hope you hear me clearly, what I'm not saying is that you'll never have trials, that you'll never have hard times, and that everything's going to be peachy creamy. That simply is not true at all. That's not what God's word says. That's not what he promised us. He said, but in the middle of the storms, Jesus is your peace, period. In fact, I'd rather be in the boat in a storm with Jesus than on the shore, safe without him. Better is one day in your courts, in your presence, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be in the middle of a boat, in the middle of a storm, with Jesus in it, than sitting safely on the shore. Because the very presence of him is more than enough. It's sweeter than wine. His presence. Don't forget our first love. It's easy to do that. I take for granted my wife at times. Why? Because she's always there. She's always there. When I wake up, she's there. When I come home, she's there. Even if she goes away for a bit, she always comes back. She finds a way back. She's there. Sometimes the same thing with God. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we can take it for granted that he's just always there. Today, God wants to help us to grasp and understand and begin to open our hearts that better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So how do you have a day with God? That's what I want to get to. How do we have a day with God? If you would have asked me this years ago, I probably would have said, okay, we'll start off your day with Bible study and prayer, and then go off to your day and do the things you need to do. And that wouldn't have been necessarily entirely bad answer that I would have given you, but God has really been challenging my heart over these last 9-10 years. There's a whole lot more to him than just starting my day off with some devotions and reading my Bible and praying, and then going off and doing my thing. My understanding has really opened since I've started to begin this journey with God of really opening my heart and say, God, would you lead me now? I'm tired of leading because I get myself in a mess a lot. I get myself stuck in situations. I get myself in places where, man, oh God, in hindsight, man, if I would have just turned left here instead of right, this whole conversation with this person would have went totally different. And I've been in those places so many times, and I've just come into a place of saying, God, I need you to lead me here. Give me what to say. Open my eyes. How many times I've walked by people that were broken. They were crying out, maybe not with their outward voice, but inwardly they were crying out just for someone to care. God's just really been challenging me that this idea of better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere is not just, okay, I woke up and I did my reading of my Bible, I did this, okay, I've done that part of God, now I'm off and I'm doing work and then I'm doing this and I'm doing this. But how do you have a day with God? A biblical day. If you're taking notes, rather than just having a compartmentalized time with God, I'm going to spend a half an hour in the morning, or just before I go to bed, or just around a meal. I want to encourage you to live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. 24/7. Is it possible? Absolutely. Can I do it? No, not on my own. I can do nothing on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is where a lot of people fail. They try to do it on their own because, hell, pastor says this is good. My mom, dad, or someone else says this is what I need to do. So they try to do it in their own strength and ability. How many people have ever, don't put your hands up here, okay? But how many people have ever been in a spot where you've had a lot of pressure from a family member or someone else? It's time to maybe do a little workout or a little run or a little something. So on the peer pressure of that person, you decide, oh, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to do this. So you start well, but then you quit. Because it was never inside of you. It was the pressures coming outside. It's no different than with God. When we turn around, we hear, oh, we should do devotions, we should do this, or we should do that, or, oh, I should do this. We start out those New Year's resolutions. It's like 90-some percent of them never follow through. Why? Because we're starting out in our own strength and ability instead of pausing and saying, hey, God, thank you for last year. It's a brand new year. What do you got for me? He says he has every good work, every good thing already prepared in advance for your life, for your unique life to accomplish and do. His ways are higher. Why are we doing this on our own? Why are we trying to make it and try to figure it out? Why are we looking to the person to our right and left and saying, well, this is what they do. If I do that, it'll be okay. Instead, I really believe that God wants us to have an ongoing, unending awareness of him and his presence. To live with an ongoing, unending awareness with God's presence, we're going to recognize that all day long, all of the time, you can be aware of God, that he's with you. He's guiding you. He's comforting you. He's convicting you. He's speaking to you. You don't just have to have a time with God. You can literally do life with God. In fact, let me just say this right now. God made it in such a way that a little child can do life with God. We just made it way too difficult. He wants us to become that childlike again in his presence. He's our daddy. It's okay not to know it all. It's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay not to be comfortable with everything. Because he's molding and shaping you, and he doesn't want you to be comfortable. He's not finished with you yet. If you are done and God is saying, hey, you're so perfect, Johnny, or whatever, you're so perfect, and that I'm done, then you would go, breathe your last, and you'd be in his presence. He's not done with you. There's still more that he wants to do in your life and through your life. Think of it this way. In the Old Testament, there was no Hebrew word translated as spiritual. I don't have one. Because the God who was spirit, when he created everything in his image, everything is spiritual. If a disciple would have come to Jesus and said, Jesus, how is your spiritual life? I think Jesus would probably chuckle a little bit. And then he would say, everything is spiritual. I'm here doing my Father's business. Everything we're doing is spiritual. To call one thing spiritual is to say something else is not spiritual. To God, everything is spiritual. Think of it this way. In the Old Testament, God would dwell in the temple or in the tent before the temple. People would desire to be into the temple courts. You'd have to go somewheres to be with God because that's where he dwelled. He dwelled in that place, and everyone would cram to that place because they just had to have a touch from God. They had to sense his presence. They had to be close to him. Moses, as he went into the tent, Joshua would be found after everyone had left. He'd be sitting at the edge of the tent door just to have the presence of God a little closer to him. He was longing so much. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere in your presence. That's in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, for those of you who are here today that are Christians, the Bible actually says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're his favorite dwelling place. Check it out. We don't have to go somewheres to be with God. God has come to be with you, and he's dwelling inside of you. And because of that, you can literally have a day with God. Not just time with God, but a day with God. And here's the amazing thing. If you can have a day with God, you can have a week with God. And if you can have a week with God, you can have a month with God. And if you can have a month with God, you can have an entire year with God. And if you have you can have a year with God, you can have a life that is ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. And suddenly, what Paul said makes sense in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, whatever you do, see, whatever you do, whether you're driving to work, you're texting your mom, you're going to the grocery store, you're studying for that exam, you're practicing for that team, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another version says, everything you do it unto the Lord. An unending, ongoing relationship with God. Because everything is spiritual. You can do it all with an unending awareness of God's presence. Better is one day with God than 1,000 elsewhere. Now that raises a question. How do we go and just have a day with God? Not just a time or a moment, but how do we go and have a day with God? But because if you're like me, maybe you've got great intentions to start. You know, you're a Christian, you're going to spend time with God. I'm going to be aware of his presence. Then you turn the TV on. Then someone calls, texts us. You forget for an hour, and then you go to bed, and you wake up, and life just starts to happening again. So what I want to do is I want to give you three habits that you can start to develop in your life. And let me just promise you that if you incorporate these disciplines, these habits in your life, you will find and discover what is better. An ongoing, unending relationship acknowledging the presence of God, and you can literally do life with God. You can do life with him. So let me give you the three habits here as we get ready to close in a moment. Number one is develop the habit of constant communication with God. Constant communication with him. Not just morning, not just meal, not just night, but a constant communication with him. Let me break it and let me help you understand in a moment. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and that 16 tells us, be joyful always. That's a tough one. How should we pray? It goes on to say, be joyful always and pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5. 16 and 17. Joyful always and pray continually. Now, one of the versions says it this way, pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but that means almost my breath coming out is a prayer. You know the greatest way, let me pause for a moment here, the greatest way to shut down gossip is to turn it in prayer. Greatest way, you know, like they say, rocking chair. It's a lot of effort. It's like being in a worry, I mean. It's like being in a rocking chair. It's a lot of effort, but you get nowheres. The way to get off of that is turn that worry right into a prayer. Oh, my son's not home yet. Oh, I don't know what to do. Jesus, I just lift him up right now. And I just ask God, you just be around him and cause my son to have an awareness that it's time that he needs to come home. Turn it into a prayer. Fear. Oh, I don't know what people are saying. I really want to come up, and I feel like God has gifted me to sing, but I'm afraid to be up, and God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would open a door. If you want me to come up and be a part of the worship team, if you want me to go and talk to this person, if you want me to, God, I just pray, I just lift this fear to you right now, because you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes, I can't even pray 5 minutes straight. How in the world can we pray consistently or continually? sometimes it seems impossible, but I want to encourage you, and I believe with all my heart, you can develop a habit of constant communication with God. Let me explain it this way. I heard it this way once, and it's really kind of hit me, and it's helping me understand it a little more, especially in this generation that we're in now. How many people carry one of these things around? Got a phone. I got three. Man, we are like way behind on the times here. How many people have a cell phone? Just put your hand up. Come on now. Don't be shy. It's not an ungodly thing to have a cell phone, okay? And that you have a cell phone. You know, don't put your hand up, but how many carry it into the bathroom with them? So many people do. Now listen, I do. I carry it in the bathroom with me. It's around with me always. There's help for that, though. It's called counseling, and we can talk about that later. It's free. Here's the thing. Because I'm in contact with people all the time, I use my phone, and I sit for a few seconds, and in a few moments, I can send out short bursts of communication. You know, if you're on Twitter, 140 characters later, you can help someone understand where you're at today and what's going on. Facebook, just a quick little blurb. Hey, a little picture says 1,000 words. You just fire it off and people, oh, that's what he's up to. Oh, that's what's going on. Or a text. Constant communication. All day long, I text. Sometimes it's to my family, to close friends, to the staff, to other people as I'm trying to make connections all the time. I have these short bursts of communication. Often just 140 characters. Or less with the people that I love and the people that are around me. Think about this. Think about constant communication with God in the same way. It doesn't have to be an hour of spiritual warfare prayer in the morning, which we certainly should have in our life at times, amen? And that sometimes things just aren't shifting and breaking in our life because we're not praying and fasting and linking them together. There is a spiritual warfare, and prayer is our weapon, right? If we're not praying, we're kind of like out in left field and in no man's zone, and that running around hoping the enemy doesn't take pot shots at us. But as we begin to pray, it changes everything around us. It doesn't have to be just God bless a meal or pray at the end of a day, but instead send up short bursts of communication ongoing all the time, all day long, constantly, consistently throughout your entire day. 140 characters or less. You're driving to work. Oh, wow. God, that's an amazing sunrise. Send a little text to God. It's an amazing sunrise. You're creative. I can't believe those colors. You're listening to a worship song, or and all of a sudden you begin to just send a text to God. Thank you, God. I get to be in your presence. Thank you, God, for speaking into my life. Your boss is being kind of a God, give me the grace to deal with her today. Send a little text. Send a little text. Oh man, that person looked at me and they're hurting. God, I pray that your spirit will work in that person's life. Just send it up. Don't be like me, or sometimes we all get in this place. Someone says, oh man, I'm having a really tough, oh no, I'll pray about that. It's the last time we ever thought about it. Take a few moments. If you can't take it with the person right there, make sure you take it as soon as you get that opportunity. God, I just remember that guy I bumped into in the mall that, you know, he was limping on his leg and he just said, man, life has been really hard on him. God, I just pray right now. Would you just touch his life right now? Would you turn it around that he would know that you are alive and well? How will anyone know unless they're told? How many times have you heard from your unsaved loved ones or your coworkers or someone around, oh, wow, fate has really done well for me this week. Or, wow, what a coincidence. Oh, lady, luck was looking out for me. See, they're all expressions the world have for Holy Spirit, but they just don't understand it. Holy Spirit's working all the time, wooing and moving in people's lives, trying to help them see that God is good because God longs for no one to perish, no one to miss out. But they just don't understand it, and they're looking in all many directions. And they're trying to take what is good, because every good thing comes from our Father above, not from the devil, from the Father above. They just don't understand it. And they need you and me to link through prayer, to link through our testimony, to link through things so that they can grab a hold of it. Developing a habit of prayer, of constant communication with Him. Second thing, if you're taking notes, is develop a habit of instant obedience to God. This one's hard. This one's a tough one. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Another verse says, God, renew a right spirit within me. It's so easy to get out of step with Holy Spirit. How many times have you put your foot in your mouth in a conversation? Oh, I wish I never said that. How many times have you jumped full guns into something only to realize? I remember a conversation so vividly where I jumped in the middle of a conversation because I heard a little something. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. That can't be. That shouldn't be around. And I'm jumping in with guns a-blazing only to find out I misheard the whole conversation. Had nothing to do with anything I was coming with. And they're just like, what? What was that? Oh, we get out of line lots, don't we? Galatians talks about this idea of instant obedience to Him. And that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the deal. If we're constantly communicating with God, if you're constantly in His Word, let me pause for a moment. Just ask, you don't have to put your hands up. But how many people have a regular devotional time with Him? Have a time that you set aside with just you and God? Or maybe you had one before, but you haven't one now. If not, maybe it's a good time to get back to it, to get back to His Word, to get back into that groove of taking moments in your day to talk with Him. If you're talking to God constantly when you're in His Word, guess what's going to happen? God's going to speak to you. And I'm telling you, He will bring His Word to your memory, and He's going to speak to you. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. As you get to know Him through His Word, by His Spirit, He's going to prompt you to do some things, and He's going to tell you when to do it and how to do it. And when He does, just instantly obey. Holy Spirit convicts you and He nudges you. Listen to me. Every time we say no, we begin to harden our heart. We begin to deafen the voice. Oh, God stands, but why does He keep standing and knocking? Why does He keep speaking and keep speaking and speaking? Because He's longing for us to partner with Him. But if we don't learn this instant obedience with Him when He's speaking and prompting our heart, we can easily convince ourselves. Listen to me, no one wakes up one morning and says, it's a great day to have an affair on my wife. Oh, it's Tuesday. Tuesday's a great day to rip off my boss. Oh, Tuesdays are rip off boss day. No one wakes up like that. But it's constantly deafening our voice to God. It's constantly not saying yes to what He's having for us to do, that we deafen that part. So we find ourselves living blindly instead of, like Galatians says, and that we live by the Spirit and that we keep in step with Him. If you want to develop your habit of constant communication with God, instant obedience to Him is very important. And lastly, is a daily desperation for God. I can't make it through another day without Him. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle all the things that come my way. I don't know if you know how to handle all the things that come your way either. And we need to have this desperation for him, God, that when we wake up, God, I need you. You don't need him if you want to do what you want to do, when you want to do, and how you want to do it. Amen? You just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But when there's a king in your life, Judges says the people did what they wanted to do. They saw what was right in their own eyes and they did it because there was no king. But if you're a believer in Christ, you have a king. And when you wake up, recognize your king. He is your King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And when we surrendered to him, we just didn't take, oh, thank you for all your benefits. Right? Kind of like, you know, that whole part of relationships and that where, you know, we just get into those relationships for the benefits instead of the fact of that commitment. God, I picked up my cross. I'm denying myself and I'm following you. Not just because of what you give me. Because if God gives us nothing else, he answers no more prayers. Has he not done enough already? Oh, listen to me. He's still alive and well, and he's still answering, and he's still healing, and he's still moving, and he's still blessing. He's still doing all those. But if he doesn't do any more, has he not done enough already? A daily desperation for God. My soul yearns for you. My heart faints for the living God. I need you. Why? Why do I need him? You know, people say that all the time. They say, you're weird, you're crazy, you're just making it too spiritual. You're just trying to take it a little too far. I get all these things, you know, you can't be happy on Monday, Pastor. You're fake. Oh, I've had those things. I've had all sorts of people say things. But listen to me. And that as I've come to a place to realize, and Holy Spirit's been putting lots in my heart, you can never fail chasing hard after God. Never fail. And that, but let me tell you why sometimes people try to slow you down. It's because they don't have an appetite for God. Well, they might be in the church, but they don't have an appetite for him. And they don't want you making them feel uncomfortable by you having an appetite for him. Fix your eyes on him. Here's why. You develop an appetite for what you eat. And here's the deal. When you feed on the things of the world, the good life, we develop an appetite for that good life. And when God has something indescribably better for us, we can't even see it in front of us. If all you eat is the well-done leather steak, then all you ever get is that burnt offering. But God says, I desire more than sacrifice. I desire obedience. When there's so many wonderful ways to experience the presence of God, if all we do is seek what the world has, we're going to go and our desire is going to grow to get what the world can give. But if you start seeking God, you're going to develop a daily desperation for him. Scripture says in Psalms 34, 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. As you taste him, then you'll become desperate for more of him. In fact, that's what David was saying in verse 1 and 3 of that same chapter. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. See, when you're constantly in communication with God, when you're moving into instant obedience, when you're feeding on him and enjoying his presence, you realize that he is better. And you will never again settle for the good life. Because you want something better. You want his forgiveness, his grace, his power, his mercy, his presence, his sovereignty working in your life. You won't settle for something less. You want what is better because it is better one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, lowliest position, than to sit in the courts and the house of the wicked. We need to stop compartmentalizing and putting God off to the side, insulting him with a few moments of spiritual time here and there. Here's my quiet time. Here's the part of the day. We need to live with him. It's an ongoing, unending awareness of his presence, because whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Why? Because everything is spiritual. Don't compartmentalize your life. You're doing life with God. Intimate, ongoing, unending relationship, aware of his presence. Why? Let's say the memory verse one more time together. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Father, I pray that you would plant this truth deep within our hearts. God, that we would be forever different as your word transforms us, Lord. Lord, as we open our hearts to you, understanding and realizing, Lord, God, that we want to develop a constant communication with you. God, would you lead us? Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lord, knowing that you will make our path straight, help us to walk in instant obedience, Lord, and a daily desperation for you. God, we love you, Lord. Lord, as we think back to last year, think back to this time last year and ask yourself, where you characterized doing life, were you characterizing doing life with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence? Were you walking with him? Were you having days with him? Chances are really good that there's some here today that would probably say, no, I wasn't. But let me just tell you today, it's possible. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk with him. Constant communication, instant obedience, and desperately seeking and needing him. If you say you want to have a better year today, I'm going to tell you that there is something better. If you want that, and you're sensing his presence even now as we speak, dear Heavenly Father, we just ask. I ask, Lord, would you reveal yourself? Lord, your presence is what we long for. We take it for granted, but help us to smell your fragrance. Lord, that would catch our attention. Lord, I pray that you would just whisper so that we would lean a little closer in that still small voice, and we would be able to hear intently, not just passing by, hearing a radio go on, and, oh, yeah, okay, God's alive. But God, that you would cause our hearts to lean in, just like John put his head upon the breast of Christ and listen to his heartbeat. God, may we come in and listen to your heartbeat. God, to the people around us that your heart's breaking for, that our hearts will begin to break for them. If you're here today and God's speaking into your heart, and you're wanting that better life, that life that is aware of his presence, is ongoing and aware of it, that ongoing presence of God. I'm going to ask you just as an act of spiritual act, just to raise your hand and say, God, Lord, that's what I want. I don't want to be caught up in all the things that get me so easily entangled, the gossip, the words, the fear, the worry. God, Lord, into the good life, I got to get a little more. But Lord, I want to lean wholly upon you. Slide your hand up, and God, Lord, we just act of faith, Lord. We just reach our hand towards you and say, Lord, here's my life once again. God, I give it to you. Would you take the wheel? Would you take control? Lord, help us to pick up our cross and deny ourselves and follow you. Oh, God, I thank you. You're not finished with anyone here. You have so much more in store. Lord, just that very presence, Lord, where we would be able to come into your presence, and no matter where we are, we'll know that you're there with us. We'll be able to sense your presence. We'll hear your voice. We'll be guided by you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Oh, it's only going to get better. Oh, for Rockcliffe, it's only going to get better. Lord, for our families, it's only going to get better. For our lives individually, it's only going to get better. For Owen Sound, it's only going to get better. Oh God, Lord, may people long to be in Owen Sound because your presence is lifted up. Oh God, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. May each and every one taste and see that you are good. God, we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you're here today and you'd like someone to pray with you, maybe you're going through a difficult time or a situation, or maybe God was just speaking something heavy in your heart and you just feel like you want to lock in and you just don't want to lose this moment, I just encourage you all, hang around for a moment before I have the Israel meeting and we'll pray with you and we'll take some time. But just know, we love you lots. We are so glad and that God has called us all to be together as one. Amen. And I'm just so excited for what God has in store. And you know, Brother Carol and his wife, you guys didn't just build a building. You built lives. And that's why the church is still around today, is because of those that have gone before us and planted the seeds. I shared in a part of when I came, God gave me a picture in Revelations, and that where it says all the prayers of the saints are stored into a bowl. And I felt like God just said to me, you know, all those that have gone before, all the prayers and all of our prayers that link in with there, I got this picture where God says it's starting the tip. And he's going to let his answers and all the spirit and all the things that he's promised over this assembly are starting to pour out. Not because I'm here, but because his presence is here and you're here with me. Amen. And the more that we walk in constant communication with him, walk in instant obedience, with a desperation for a need of him, we're going to see all that he has promised and more. Amen? So I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We love you lots. If you love prayer, I encourage you to come. And we'll see those that are interested in going to Israel in November. If you can just hang around for a few moments, we'll give you the information. We'll help you connect the dots. And that even if you're just thinking about going to Israel and not quite sure, stay for a few moments after. It won't be an hour unless some people have long questions. And then we'll go from there. God bless you in Jesus' name.